Welcome to the Woman Inspired Podcast. I'm Karen. I'm glad we're both here today. If you wouldn't mind taking some time after you listen to this episode to hop on out to my website at womaninspired.com, I would greatly appreciate it. You're going to find all the details about this podcast, speaking events, how to contact me to speak at your event, along with my latest book, which is called Woman Let Go, Release the Grip of Unforgiveness. And that book is partly what prompted me to choose today's topic. Forgiveness has really been on my mind for quite a long time, intensely so lately. Call it conviction or affirmation, divine assistance for something that I've really needed to embrace for myself, and something I felt led to extend to other people. Whatever it is you want to call it, I believe I have a passion to share it. That's what I did in my book, is share that. And by the way, it hit number one in three different categories on Amazon bestsellers list this past week. So thankful. And so on today's episode, I want to share with you a few stories of amazing forgiveness that I learned along the way. This is a type of forgiveness that I'm going to talk about that a lot of people say they could never conjure up. I mean, so many people in today's world can't even forgive someone who quickly zips ahead of them to park in a parking spot they wanted at the grocery store. I mean, people have a hard time forgiving even the smallest wrongdoing or a perceived offense against them. And yet, when I had others tell me about the immense forgiveness they had to conjure up because of tragedy in their lives, I couldn't not share it. I had to share it. So that's what I felt compelled to do. And I'm going to share a little bit of that in today's podcast too. I'm going to start out with some pod quotes. Are you ready? This is from Lewis B. Smeads. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, and then to find out the prisoner was you. And this one is from Robin Sharma. Forgiveness isn't approving what happened. It's choosing to rise above it. So my question to you is, do you have the ability to rise above whatever someone else has done wrong to you? Do you have the ability to forgive in the face of pain or tragedy? One time at a speaking engagement, I was in Arizona. I met a woman who had pretty much held on to some serious resentment and anger towards her ex-husband for years, several years. He was her husband at one time for a long time and became her ex-husband. She and I spoke and we prayed together in the women's restroom, actually, at the conference. Her health was just horrible, and yet the doctors could find no physical underlying cause. She was taking care of herself the best way she knew how, but she was sick all the time. Her therapist, her doctor, even her pastor told her she had to forgive and let go, because that type of stress that she was holding on to and resentment and anger was greatly affecting her health. I'm sure it was affecting her spiritual health, but it was definitely affecting her physical health. Unforgiveness had just taken a grip on her health. Her struggle to forgive her husband for cheating on her after so many years of marriage was only part of the issue. She struggled to forgive herself, because after learning that he not only cheated on her with a woman at church, but had been a serial cheater for most of their marriage, and she didn't know about it, she didn't just feel betrayed by him. She felt she had betrayed herself. She felt ignorant, foolish, embarrassed that she didn't know about any of her husband's unfaithfulness and addictions. Yeah, he had a lot of addictions. She didn't even know about those. So like many women who find out that their spouse is cheating on them, she felt as if she couldn't trust even her own instincts anymore. She felt a lot of resentment over that and embarrassment. Perhaps she also felt like she couldn't trust God, because after all, where was he in the middle of all of this? About a year after I'd been to that speaking engagement in Arizona, where I encouraged her to work hard to forgive and give her some suggestions, including that she continue to go to therapy, she actually reached out and contacted me. I had prayed for her often, but I never knew what happened in her life after I saw her. She found my information online and she just reached out to me. And I was overjoyed when she told me that she found the key to forgiveness in the strength that she gained from Jesus. She was keeping her eyes on him and decided not to blame him for her ex-husband's free will choices, because that's what she'd been doing up to that point, was blaming God for her husband's, again, then ex-husband's choice. And she decided that she wasn't going to blame him for someone else's choices or blame herself for someone else's choices. And that decision freed her to finally forgive. It took her many months of practice in order to stop obsessing on it and kind of take those thoughts captive, including the daydreams of retaliating against him, which is what was going through her head. I'm sure many of us have felt that way too, right? Something goes on and we play out a scenario of retaliation in our head. And like so many other people I've spoken to, she also found a renewed sense of purpose and direction through serving other people as a means of intentionally distracting herself from her incessant thoughts. So giving to those who needed her time and attention actually helped her to forgive, because then she wasn't obsessing on the unforgiveness and the retaliation and the anger that she felt. So this beautiful woman, she worked hard to turn her life around and release the grip that unforgiveness had on her. She shared with me a quote that helped her, and that same quote also eventually helped me. She said she came across it one day in a store. It was on one of those little plaques, you know, those cute little wood or stone plaques. This is a quote by Malachi McCourt. It says, "Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die." And that's what had happened to her. She ended up using that quote, though, along with her favorite scriptures, to remind herself that unforgiveness was toxic to her, because she was poisoning herself inside and out. It's not only toxic to your physical and mental and emotional health, but also to your spiritual health. So the first step she took to release that grip of unforgiveness was to decide that she wanted to. And so she did. And I also share in my book about a woman named Helen. Interestingly enough, or maybe I should say horrifically and sadly enough, Helen is not the only woman I've met over the past 15 years who went through a horrendous tragedy and loss and had to learn to forgive in the middle of it. In fact, I don't know any stats on it, but I'd say that Helen's story is far more similar to other stories than we can even imagine. Sad to say, but I think it's true. And you'll understand as I tell her story. I just want to warn you that it is a little bit of a graphic story. So I'm going to go into that. Helen graciously allowed me to share her story in more detail in my book and on this podcast episode. Helen is her middle name because she doesn't want her full name shared for privacy reasons, but she's happy for me to share her story in the hopes that it helps someone else. So again, these following events can be a little disturbing, but they were shared by Helen so that other people can understand the fullness of what God was calling her to forgive. Now, she sincerely hopes no one else can relate in detail to this story, the reality is that on some level, there are more than a handful of people who can. And in sharing her story, she and I both hope that you will understand the various ways that she had to forgive, and also the misguided reasons that she thought at first she needed to hold on to unforgiveness. And we hope that her story conveys the reasons that forgiveness is crucial to living a life of peace, joy, and obedience. So here's a scenario that forever changed her life. And again, warning, it does involve violence and crime. So in the summer of 2011, Helen had been waiting for her daughter to call. It was in the morning. She hadn't heard from her, and the call was kind of past due about 2 hours. She had a feeling in the pit of her stomach that something was wrong, so she was concerned. She had red flags all over the place ever since her daughter had started dating Brody. Again, not his actual name. Brody wasn't the first man in her daughter's life. Helen's daughter, Kimmy, had flitted. I tried to say flit there. She'd flitted from relationship to relationship, man to man, when she was a teenager. And in early into her 20s, she was still acting the same. But she finally settled with a wonderful man when she was 26 years old. He was a Christian who had a good head on his shoulders. She said he was kind and loved life. They married and had two children. One was a girl who turned 6 years old in 2011 and a 9-year-old boy. Unfortunately, after 10 years of marriage, Brody was killed in a freak trucking accident, and Kimmy hadn't been widowed very long and was in the midst of severe grief when she decided to take up with Brody. She did it, she was sure, Helen said, for the wrong reasons. Of course, it was too soon. She wasn't happy that her daughter had done this. First of all, Helen felt it was too fast, and she knew that Kimmy was still grieving, and so were the kids. But Helen loved her daughter, so she wanted to try to support her in every way that she could. But Brody was not the kind of man that Helen would have chosen for Kimmy. A few times in the past few weeks leading up to this day, Kimmy had called Helen crying. And though Kimmy wouldn't admit it, Helen suspected that Brody was getting violent with her. When she had her grandchildren with her the day before, they told her they were afraid of Brody. So Helen talked to Kimmy when she dropped the kids back home the day before, and Helen felt prompted to tell her that she needed to get serious about getting away from Brody, because if the kids were afraid of him, there was a reason. And Kimmy said that she loved him and she wanted to work things out, but she was afraid of him and she was going to set some boundaries with him. So Kimmy was supposed to see Brody that following morning so they could talk about their relationship. And Helen was nervous for Kimmy, but she knew the kids would be off to school and made her daughter promise that she would call her and fill her in on everything after she spoke with Brody. But that next morning, Helen hadn't received a call yet from her daughter, and it had already been 2 hours past when she thought her daughter would call. So she paced back and forth and back and forth, and she was just about ready to grab her keys to head over to check on Kimmy when the phone finally rang. And the drive was only about 10 miles away, so she was relieved to get the call, glad that she wouldn't have to drive there. But when she picked up the phone, she immediately heard Kimmy screaming, and she was screaming for help. So Helen ran and got in her car and drove over there. She dialed 911 immediately as she drove to Kimmy's house. And when she got to Kimmy's house, she saw Brody dragging Kimmy down the driveway by her hair. And she was a bloody mess. Helen got out of the car and she immediately went over to Brody to try to get him away from her, and Brody dropped Kimmy and went after Helen. He ended up grabbing Helen and throwing her down a hill towards the ditch. Excuse me. He ended up throwing her down a hill towards the ditch. I apologize. I kind of had a little cough going on there. Anyway, he took off in his truck after that, and Helen had hit her head and apparently passed out, because when she came to, she heard sirens. The police were already on the lookout for Brody after getting a description of his vehicle from a neighbor, and Kimmy was dead, and so were both of the children. When I talked to Helen a few years later, when she shared her story with me, she said, "Karen, I was so angry, of course, but I wasn't just angry at Brody and even angry at Kimmy for allowing him in their lives, or just angry from the grief of losing my family. I was angry at God for allowing this to happen. I was angry at myself for not going over there earlier. There were 1,000 what ifs that went through my mind. But the thing that made me angriest was that I knew that one day, if Brody confessed his sins, then God would forgive him, and I don't think he deserved forgiveness." And she also said, "I was also angry that God was going to command me to forgive Brody. I know this because I've been a Christian inside and out from the time I was young. I always acted like forgiving was just a given and no big deal, but I'd never had to forgive on this level before, with this much pain and anger inside me. I didn't know how I was going to forgive. How would a righteous, loving God ask me to forgive someone who took my daughter and grandchildren from me? And I seriously believed that if I forgave him, I would be betraying my daughter and my grandchildren." You know, Helen isn't alone in her thinking. We always hear how sin is sin, and in the eyes of God, one sin equals another. In human courts, though, there are varying degrees of judgment, and the sentencing is supposed to fit the crime. Sadly, I'm not sure that usually happens, but we're told time and again as Christians that God is a just God, and his ways are filled with wisdom. We know this, but then to have to sit back and wait for God to apply the justice, much like us faithfully applying forgiveness to someone who has done something so atrocious and heartbreaking, it's a whole different level of difficulty and pain, bordering on the nearly impossible. And I mean nearly impossible because it is possible. It just doesn't feel like it when you're in the midst of something. So as I listened to Helen telling her story, my mind went right to where her thoughts had been years before. How could she forgive that? I'd think there would be some line within each of us that we feel we can't cross in order to forgive. I would think that when faced with something so extremely painful, that God would understand better than anyone else if we just can't bring ourselves to forgive. But Helen and I discussed that very thing. I knew I was wrong in that thinking, and I recalled telling someone else years earlier the same thing. We still have to forgive, even when we think God will understand if we don't. Our feelings and perspectives don't change the meaning of God's word. Of course, she reminded me of that very thing, that the word of God and his instructions about forgiveness are clear. If he asks us to do it, he will give us the way to do it. She shared with me one of the Bible verses that got her through some incredibly difficult and angry days on her journey to release that grip of unforgiveness she'd been holding on to. It's 1 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. More than anything, after sitting in her unforgiveness for 2 full years, Helen realized that it had created a chasm between her and God. Her relationship with the world, with the Lord, had dwindled down to basically barely a prayer a day and attending church only on special occasions. Her lifelong faith and love for Jesus felt shallow and empty after 2 years of sitting in her unforgiveness. She couldn't live that way any longer. And when she woke up on Easter morning after that second year and realized that she didn't want to go to church, she flipped on the TV instead. And when she did, she saw part of a passion play where Jesus was on the cross, hanging between the two thieves. When the actor playing the thief on the right said, "We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong," she began to weep. It was a different kind of crying than she'd done before, as she saw a thief say, "Hey, I've done something wrong, but Jesus is being crucified and he hasn't done anything wrong." She said that this feeling and this weeping was from deep within her. It was a mourning, not just for her daughter and grandchildren, but for the loss of the person she used to be before she let unforgiveness strangle the life out of her. In that moment, Helen realized that she was not the judge of Brody, and just like him, she didn't deserve the forgiveness she got either. Who was she to deny what Jesus asked of her when she was a sinner too, and Jesus' entire life and ministry was based on forgiveness? If she said she believed what the Bible said, then she needed to live what the Bible said. I cried with Helen that day, but not because of sadness, but because of the truth in her words and the beautiful glow on her face, because she spoke so eloquently about the peace she found in her obedient decision to forgive, no matter what it took. So these were tears of joy. She told me that the truth is that forgiving others is an act of obedience, and not forgiving is straight out disobedience to God. And it took time, but that finally sunk into her. She said it took a kind of discipline and self-control she didn't think she would be able to muster up, but that same self-control could only come from Jesus and the amazing strength given to her through the Holy Spirit. So when talking to Helen, as she shared her insights on forgiving, I have to admit, that's when my real passion for sharing with others about forgiveness began. Here I had witnessed out of the mouth of someone who had to forgive something I had never even thought about in my life. And I pray I never have to think about that level of forgiveness, but I'd never thought of it in the way that she framed it. Praise God, I didn't have such a horrible tragedy perpetuate me and my family like she did. But the unforgiveness I'd held on to against myself and other people became more apparent the more I learned from her. In places I thought that I had forgiven, I realized I had not. I was just pushing it deep down and ignoring it. And that unforgiveness was no less toxic to me and no less a form of disobedience just because the transgressions seemed smaller than what Helen had endured. Just like the thief on the cross, I don't deserve a full pardon, but yet Jesus chose to die for me and pardon me just as he chose to die for you and pardon you and all of those who come to him. So the scripture that Helen was referring to was about being obedient was from Luke 23:39-43, where it says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. Excuse me, this is the scripture where she's talking about in the passion play that made her realize that she had to be obedient and that Jesus died for her as well as anyone who comes to him and asks for forgiveness. So it's from Luke 23:39-43. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. I don't know where you are in your walk with God or even on the scales of forgiveness, but I can tell you that we're told to forgive. And if God asks us to do it, he will give us a way to do it. If you're having a difficult time forgiving someone else or even yourself, I encourage you first and foremost to seek the Lord on this. Ask him for help. Have him guide you to the path of forgiveness. And if you are a reader who reads my book, I encourage you also to hop out to Amazon and download the forgiveness journal that goes with it. It just came out. Woman Let Go, Release the Grip of Unforgiveness, Forgiveness Journal. Hopefully it will help you on the path to forgiving by keeping a record of it, writing down things that you need to know in order to forgive, or things that you need to remember, or things that just might help you pour some things out. If in it, you'll see listed in the Woman Inspired book series or on Amazon. It'll be there along with the other books that I have in that series. That journal will be there. And you can also go to my website and hit the books tab. And you can click the cover of the Woman Let Go book and it will take you straight to the book ordering page. And yes, for those of you who have already asked, you can order this book through all major retailers and Christian bookstores. You can use your Barnes & Noble discounts to order it straight from them as well. Whatever you do, I pray you stay open to healing through forgiveness and being obedient to forgive, because it will make you free from that grip of unforgiveness so that you can have your life back and you live your life according to the way God wants you to live it and live freely, unburdened, without toxicity coming at you all the time. Actually, when you don't forgive, the toxicity builds up from the inside out. It means you're grabbing and holding on to something that's toxic for you, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I pray that you can release that. That's my hope and prayer through the book, through this podcast, that you'll understand greater how important it is that you accept the forgiveness that's offered you from Jesus Christ, but also that you embrace forgiving other people, even when it's really difficult. I want you to have that kind of freedom. I just do. And I'll be praying for you. So until next time, I pray you have a blessed week. Thank you for tuning into the Woman Inspired Podcast.